It's that time again. Time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com. Every Sunday afternoon at the 3 o'clock hour, we are right here ready to bring the Word of God to you and following those dear, sweet friends of ours on Truth Talk. And what a joy they are week after week. And we love to get here just a tad early so we can hear what they have to say from God. And it is always amazing and always wonderful. And this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries right here in Clearwater, Florida. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing the Word of God today. And as almost always, and my associate pastor, the famous, the esteemed, the wonderful, talented man of God, Pastor Jim Elsberry, not Mr. Pastor Jim Elsberry.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, so glad you're on today. And Nan Watson, also a regular team member here. Radio team has expanded. We're blessing God for the new ones coming on. And we thank God for all of our current radio team members who are so faithful in bringing the Word of God week after week along with me. I love being here, and it is a joy to be behind this board and to bring you the great music and the Word and practical application. I just said that on my Facebook post. The practical application of concepts of God's Word that affect our daily lives. Pastor Jim, that's what it's all about. This is not just about a time of some great music and a little friendly chat. It's about teaching the principles of God's Word to our listeners and to ourselves, because we hear it and we get it too. So,
because what good is it if you hear it, but you can't do anything with it?
That's exactly right. And so the goal is always to take what we hear and apply it to our everyday lives. And that's what we do here week after week. What have we been up to today, Pastor Jim and Nan? What have we been doing so far today? I mean, this day has began early, 6:15 for me, and then it has been one thing right after another, hasn't it, Pastor Jim?
Such a late sleeper.
Listen to you. Would you get up at 4 again?
No, I actually slept until 5 this
five.
Morning.
5. Look at you. All right. Yes.
Well, we had our service this morning. It was great. It was a great service. We had an impromptu board meeting afterwards, which was great. And then we had our nursing home ministry about 1:15 over at Palm Garden in Clearwater. And that, you know, again, we just love ministering at the nursing home because it's just such a pleasure. And we had, I tell you what, the people there today were really... They were clapping, they were singing, they were raising their hands. We were having church at the nursing home.
It was crazy good. I don't know when I've seen that many. The room was full. So it almost always is. But that many of the residents with their hands in the air praising God. Nan, I don't know about you, but I just felt like, wow, it was such a blessing to me to see them singing, praising God. We try to do old songs they know, and it was really good.
It was, in all the many times I have been there, which is a few.
You many?
A many. All my many times. I believe this was the one where there was the most participation from the residents. They were raising their hands. They were clapping their hands. They were singing the songs. You raise your hands. They raise their hands. I mean, it was just encouraging. Collectively, they were so much in tune with God. It was so cool.
It is just a joy for us at Beacon of Hope Ministries to do all the things we do in any given week. The Sunday service, the nursing home the first Sunday of every month, the radio show every single Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, which has been going on, Pastor Jim, for 11 and a half years. Mm-hmm. We're in our 12th year right here on the radio.
Wow.
Yeah. And what's going to happen on September 23rd? I'm going to let you announce
it. That will be our 600th show.
That's
our
plain crazy.
600th radio show.
Yep. There you go. We're going to have to have a very special show that day with all our radio team members. And September 23rd of this year, 600th show.
Wow.
I remember when we hit 300 and what a big celebration we had at church on the 300th. You remember that, Nan?
I remember
there was a big old cake.
We had a cake. We had it here. We had people here.
It was great. It was crazy. Oh. Then 400 hit, remember, and then 500 hit.
I remember Connie brought in, what, about 500 McDonald's?
Right, you know? Yeah, cheeseburgers, yeah. I mean, it was crazy. And so we're looking forward to September when we hit number 600. And we want to say, as always, how much we enjoy being on this radio network and working with the good people here. Ed, Big Ed, and Lola, everybody, all the engineers, Pete. It's really a joy, and we appreciate being here. We're in a new series entitled Forever Home, and it's all about heaven, and it's all about where we're headed someday. And I don't know about you, dear one, but I am not about to leave this earth without knowing that I'm going to be with Jesus for all eternity, because that is where we're headed, and that is a joy. And these are the days of Elijah, and we're going to play that in just a moment as soon as we pray. Pastor Jim, why don't you begin today by praying?
Father, we give you glory and honor and praise, and we thank you, Lord, for this time to send out your word in across the airwaves. Father, we just ask that you would anoint every word that was said. Anoint the ears of our listeners and the listeners' hearts, Father. We're believing for great things this day, not just sending out a word, but your word, your rhema, personal word to people. Father, I pray that people would receive what is said, that it would be life-changing for them, Father, that they would come to know you in a new and more intimate way. Father, we just ask your blessing upon each listener. Just bring them closer to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Woo! These are the days of Elijah. Ha ha! Get your clapping hands on, audience, and get involved, and let's praise God together. As we prepare for the coming of the Lord one day.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hills, Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are white. Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
is to come, coming back on the clouds of glory. Jesus, our Savior, our Deliverer. Praise His holy name. Praise God with us right now. Amen. Lord, we bless Amen. You. Yes. And Hallelujah. We praise You from the bottom of our hearts Hallelujah. Right now. Jesus, Hallelujah. Who was and is and who is to come. Praise God. Amen. Woo! We just love to praise Him. Nan, you got a poem during that song, didn't you? You
want
to read it?
I will. Certainly, these are my days. I am moving in the land. Surely, you can see all these occurrences. All is being done by my hands. Praise me right where you are. This is the year of Jubilee. Look to me with praise and worship. Of your bonds, you will be set free. I was so excited that you played that song because I've been listening to that song yesterday, actually.
Really?
I did.
I did not know that.
You did not know that. And what I also did was I declared this year as my year of Jubilee.
Woo.
I said, this is my year of Jubilee.
Yes.
And I went through my coins and I found me a nice shiny penny.
Yeah.
Dated for this year, 2018. And I got some airtight kind of little round cases that you can, not case, but a little, like a coin holder that
right.
you can, to preserve coins. So I've got that, I'm putting into that, and to carry it around as just a reminder in my pocket, in my purse, wherever, that this is my year of Jubilee. Praise
Amen.
God.
Victory.
Victory.
We don't know when Jesus is coming back.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
He says that we're not going to know. And when people make predictions, they never happen. And that's because God knows, and we aren't necessarily right. going to know that. We aren't going to know that. But what we have to do, and what we do know, is that Jesus is coming back someday, and He's coming back for a church. A church, and we're not talking about a denomination, people. We're talking about the body of Christ, which is though it is those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior and who are looking for that coming, who are believe that He was and is to come. Those of us who are ready for to be that bride of Christ. Wow. You talk about exciting days, and the series Forever Home is an exciting series. And there is so much that we've been talking about in the last couple weeks. If you just now joined us, we're in that series. And I'm just going to start where we left off kind of last week in James chapter 1, that in verse 2, consider it all a sheer gift. In some translations, it says, consider it joy. Okay. The Message Bible says a sheer gift. It's a gift to you when you have problems. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when, not if, tests and trials and challenges. No, when they happen. Guys, we would not be human living in this world to never have any issues or problems or tests or challenges or problems. I mean, that's just part of life. And so James says right here, consider it a sheer gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, not just maybe a little problem, but when you feel inundated. And are there times in our lives when we feel like we are overwhelmed with problems or inundated with problems? You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So it's a gift when we come into all kinds of hassles and problems because it allows our faith to grow. If you never had a problem, you would never know that God could solve Amen. It, right? From the words of that song, that old song, through it all, through
yeah,
it all.
I was gonna say, that'd be a good song, Pastor.
Yeah, it really would be. Yeah. If you never had a problem, you'd never know that God could handle it. And it says right here, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work. So you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. We need to allow these gifts, which are problems, to do the work that they are intended to do in us. Pastor Jim, talk to us about that. And so often we really get upset about this.
Right.
And we fuss.
This is one of those places where the Bible is all backwards.
In our minds, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, our blessed sister and brother that are on before us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're talking about the wisdom of man.
Right. And,
you know, to the human eye, this just seems stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, God, you're going at it backwards. Shouldn't you just bless me?
Right.
I'll love you if you bless me.
Right, exactly.
And yet, God's way is to count it all joy in the midst of the trials.
In the midst of it.
Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks. Not for everything necessarily, but in every circumstance. In every circumstance give thanks. And that's what James is talking about here. Because the testing, when your faith gets tested, it makes you steadfast. And you know, we've been talking about the crowns, and everyone, you know, we talked about some more today.
Yes.
It's all about steadfastness.
It's
That's how you win your crown.
Yes, yes.
Is by being steadfast. And
yeah, why don't you define steadfastness, Pastor Jim?
Well, some translations here have patience.
Uh-huh.
Steadfastness, I picture it like almost like that parable of the house built on the rock. The storms came against it, and it stood fast because it was founded on the rock. If we found our lives on Jesus, we can be steadfast in the storm because we're built on rock.
Yes.
And that's what it takes to remain firm in the middle of the storm. That's kind of my definition of steadfast. Firm in the middle of the storm.
Well, you're not giving in, and you're not fussing and crying and screaming. Now, are there times in our lives that we're just like fed up with too many problems? Sure. God understands our humanity. But when we go to him in honesty and sincerity and say, God, I'm just like, I'm beat down right now. I need you to lift me up. And you're acknowledging what you're going through and what you're feeling. But you're saying, God, I acknowledge that you're greater than the storm I'm in, these problems I'm in. And I know that you can deliver me out of it. Talk to us, Nan, because there's so many times that we just can see nothing but the storm, nothing but the problem. We can't see that God's greater, more awesome than the problem.
Well, I may have made reference to this the last time I was on the show. I don't recall. But in my journal, I went to my journal, one of my previous journals, where I journal. And that was written on it. I guess I journal my journal. And what I did, I made a list of things, of problems.
Right.
In my life. You know, whether it was legal issue with the divorce or health issue or just all kind of, you know, issues, you know, that, you know, precancer cells, I mean, the whole bit. And I had made a list of all these things and kind of the time period of when it happened. And I was able to look back on that because I'm going through something right now. And I was able to look back on that. And I can remember when those things maybe seemed monumental to me at the time.
Yes.
And there were certain of them that I was really strong in faith in believing God through them.
Right.
And it served as a reminder to me that the same God that was back there is the same God that's here.
You mean the same God that moved the Red Sea and opened the Red Sea is the same God that helps Nan on a daily basis? Are you kidding me, Nan?
Is that cool or what?
That same God, that awesome God?
That
are
awesome
you kidding?
God.
Woo!
That's cool.
Why did that concept help you and hopefully help somebody in our audience right now?
Well, because, There was a problem. There were things looming. Didn't know what would happen, but God knew the plan. He knew the answer. He knew what to do. He sustained me. And most importantly, you know, that, you know, you said earlier you can't have a problem. What is it you say? A problem without possibility. Help me. Help me. When you were talking about
What's the final outcome?
The final outcome is that
M-I-R-A-C-L-E.
You can't have a miracle without an impossibility.
You just had fun with that.
The reason I was staring at you funny through the glass is because I wasn't sure what you were getting at.
But okay, sorry.
You're right.
Thank you, Pastor Jim.
Have a miracle without an impossibility. I mean, if it's possible, then it's not a miracle. If it were possible for the children of Israel to walk across the Red Sea without everybody drowning, then they would have done it that way. But they needed a miracle because they had an impossibility. Good point. So what was back to your point?
So, I mean, so with that being in mind, it was like, wow, he did this for me then.
Right.
He carried me. And the thing was, I grew a lot. That's when we grow.
Yeah.
That's when we really grow in faith, is when we're struggling and dealing with something that has come against us.
Yes.
You know, if everything just were to go right perfect all the time, my faith really probably wouldn't grow, to be honest, because I don't have, you know, I wouldn't do what I'm, you know, I probably wouldn't spend as much time with God if everything was running smoothly.
Right. Exactly.
If everything was running perfect, everything was running fine, you know, well, yeah, I'll come, God, when I feel like to say hi to you and to pray to you. And, you know, but when we have to bear down because that's how we're going to make it through, then our faith is increased in those times. And that's why reflecting back on what was in my journal reminded me of, well, when this was happening, he helped me here. When this was happening, he moved in this situation.
Wow.
And to be able to reflect back and say, you know, we can look in the Bible and we can see the miracles that were done and the times, you know, the Red Sea story, all the various stories in the Bible. But it becomes real personal when you can look back at your own self and say, wow, look what he did there.
Right.
Cool.
So, exactly right. Verse 12 of James 1, recapping, anyone who meets a testing challenge head on. Moses and the children of Israel met that Red Sea head on. Moses stood there and it was like, okay, now what's going to happen now? And God says, you know, hey, do this. And they managed to stick it out is mighty fortunate. You don't see Moses saying, all right, everybody turn around. We came to an impasse here. We got a problem. No, Moses said, all right, God, how are we fixing this problem? Okay, what are we doing here? Anyone who meets a testing challenge, verse 12 of James 1 in the Message Bible, head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. And in the NIV, that verse is, blessed is the man or woman who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The crown of life, Pastor Jim. Why is the crown of life important? And is it only for three or four people someday? And when are we going to get it?
It's promised to everyone who loves him.
Right.
And according to Revelation, we get it when Jesus comes back.
Right. Wow.
John mentions it also in Revelation, and I like this. And again, the version I have, English Standard, says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. There's that word again.
Steadfast.
Right. Being firm and immovable.
Right.
For when you've stood the test, you'll receive the crown of life.
Right.
Okay, that's one of our rewards, which God has promised to those who love him.
Who love him. And, you know, when people say, well, I know about God, but I think y'all are a little fanatic when you go to praising God and raising your hands and shouting and saying, God, I love you.
And your point is.
And right. But there are people who think that about those of us who are pretty fanatical because they haven't experienced that. And when you really let yourself meditate on and take in the greatness of God, the awesomeness of God, the God who moved the Red Sea and those 3 million people walked across on dry land. That God is the same God that's working in behalf of you, Nan, right now. Mm-hmm. And to cause your situation you're going through right now to not only bring joy, but also bring the necessary provision that you need. God has a plan. God has a plan for our listeners today. God has a plan for Nan. That kind of rhymes. It could be a poem.
Could be a poem.
Nan. I like that.
God has a plan for Nan. Right. And he has a plan for every man that's out there right now, woman and child, because God loves us so very much and he is so awesome. Pastor Jim, did you want to say something to that, Nan?
You've become the poet now.
I'm the poem. Yeah, I'm the poet. Yeah, no, I'm not. And PJ, it's so amazing when we realize the profound greatness of God that he can at any moment move in our situation and wants to.
Why, amen. Scripture says back in Isaiah, he longs to be gracious to us. He longs to work in our lives. I mean, that's why he created us. He created us to have fellowship with him. That was the whole idea. And that we would fellowship with him. We would have intimate knowledge of him.
And why do we want to do that?
Because he's the one that made us. He's the one that loves us unconditionally. We're created Woo! With a yearning to come to him. And that's why so many people get lost in, you know, false religions, cults, things like that, because we have a desire to know him and to know the truth.
We do.
You know, Jesus' prayer was that you may know that they may know you, the only true God, and right. Jesus the Messiah whom you've sent.
Yes.
That wow. longing is within each of our hearts. And
yes.
if it's not, you know, Satan's going to put all sorts of stuff in there to keep you from meeting the one true God. And that's why so many people, because we have to know that there's something greater than ourselves.
That's exactly right. And it helps us to be encouraged to praise God for his awesomeness, his greatness, because so many of us did not grow up in churches where we actually let loose and raised hands and shouted and screamed. Most of us grew up in home or in churches where we sang him verses 1 and 2 and sat down on verse 3 and then stood up again on verse 4 or whatever and in our hymnal. And we were not used to that freedom of worship. And let me tell you, it's going to go a long way with you right now if you will cut loose and sing these words. You're going to learn them very quickly here. Our God is an awesome God. And it repeats over and over and over again. So why don't you praise God with us right now? Just praise God. Just let loose and praise him. Our God is an awesome God. He loves you so very much and has you in mind right now. You're the apple of his eye. Get ready to raise your hands. Get ready to raise your voice. Get ready to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God. Woo! Wow. praise breaks that yoke of bondage and problems. Nan, do you have a poem that God gave you just then?
I do. Yes, I am an awesome God who is worthy of your praise. Will you call out to me? Will I see your hands raised? Go ahead, praise me with all that is within you. I am an awesome God who cares, and I will bless you too. I inhabit the praise of my people, so praise me with all that's within. You may not be accustomed to this, but go ahead. You can now begin. Praise me.
You know, it's so true, isn't it? And, you know, the thing is, we know we're going to be doing a whole lot of praising in heaven. A lot of times people say, well, what are we going to do there? Well, there's going to be a great beach and a golf course, that I know.
You got a mansion just over the golf course?
Yeah, I got a mansion just over the golf course, yes. In that great land where, yeah. It's going to be so amazing. We don't begin to be able to. One thing we do know is that we're going to be praising God a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be at times of just rejoicing and all that. And what we do know is that God is worthy to be praised. I mean, he is worthy to be praised. So go ahead, PJ.
Well, I was going to say the closest glimpse that we have of heaven is in John in the book of Revelation. I mean,
yes, we're going
there's
there
a
now.
Lot of scenes that happen in heaven. And yeah, it's praise. It's, I mean, I've just started reading the book again.
Right.
And just the awesomeness.
Right.
And I'm sure we're going to get into that. But I mean, those scenes in heaven, yeah. Just worship and praise and exalting God.
Right.
It's just amazing.
Oh,
to
it
me.
Is.
And the songs. You know, people don't like to read Revelation because it's so scary. Then read it for the songs because there's some great songs in there.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely, there are. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and just pick up a couple verses here. Because we're talking about how we're going to change. Because in a twinkling of an eye, everything is going to change. And we're not going to do this whole 1 Corinthians 15 because we want to go to the book of Revelation in just a few moments. But we want to talk a little bit about our resurrection body. And in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 15... then Paul is saying here, show me how resurrection works. This is what some people ask. Give me a diagram. Draw me a picture. What does this resurrection body look like? And he goes on, if you look at this question closely, you realize how absurd it is. There are no diagrams or for any kind of this thing. I mean, really, we do have a parallel experience in gardening. And then, Pastor Jim, you want to explain that whole concept of planting a dead seed and that does not look at all like the flower that comes up?
Well, yeah, it's. I think just to use Paul's own words, we are sown perishable.
Right.
We're raised imperishable. I mean, think about it. When you plant a seed,
yes,
the life that's in there causes that seed to burst and bring forth something that you would never know.
Doesn't look a thing like
from
the seed,
at that
right?
Seed. Yeah. So it is with us. We have the life of Jesus within us. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. When Jesus comes back, just like a plant,
yes,
that we're going to burst forth into something brand new.
Right.
You know, we've talked a lot about it. How, yeah, we'll recognize each other. We'll have our still have bodies that looks similar to what we have, although I hope I drop a few pounds in heaven.
In a few years
in heaven.
You will.
But we'll have a different type of body.
It'll be so much better. I want to interject right here that you and I are both from Indiana, and we did not know each other, went to the same university. But two of my children are still in Indiana and several of my grandkids. And my oldest son, Ryan, works for a seed corn company in Atlanta, Indiana. It's hard to say. Anyway, he sells and he manages several states. He's over it for this company. All these dealers that sell, what they sell is bags of seed corn, okay? And what they sell, if you open this corn bag, what it looks like is a little, just a little seed or just a little kernel of corn. And he goes into these dealers and his dealers under him, and they say, plant this, and we're going to show you a picture of what it's going to look like. Or we're going to show you statistics on how much of these beautiful, great, big, tall, six-foot corn plants with all kinds of ears on them, with all kinds of kernels on each ear, what they're going to look like. But when that person buys that bag of seed corn or thousands of bags of seed corn for these huge farms, all it is a seed in a bag mm-hmm. at that point. It is not money in the bank. It actually costs them money to plant that. Doesn't it cost us dearly to plant or let go of burying those things in our life that we need to let go of and dying to self and dying to what we think life should be like or all the stuff that should be going on in our life that isn't and dying to that? And picture that seed corn when that farmer takes it and puts it in that, in the planter, the big planter, and goes out in his field. And that corn goes down into those rows and in usually very straight lines and, you know, et cetera. Then the rain comes. Then something happens in the soil that we can't see at the time. And what is produced, what we say in Indiana or used to say was knee-high by the 4th of July.
Yep.
And my son says that, no, it's way before the 4th of July these days. So sometime in June, knee-high. And then as you see the summer go along and the heat and the rain comes and the sunshine, you get these tall corn plants. You're from Indiana. You know what they look like.
Yes, I do.
Full of ears of corn. And on each ear are all these wonderful kernels of delicious corn.
Mm-hmm.
Take that. Run with that.
Well, you know, it's the growth of the kingdom. And, you know, Jesus said first the plant, then the ear, then, the corn on the ear. It's that same thing. With the resurrection body, well, Paul says, you know, what you sow is not a body that is to be, but a bare kernel. Okay? When somebody dies, we basically plant their body. Their soul and spirit is with Jesus, but we plant that body. And that's not what the resurrection body's going to be like. You know, that'd be like, you know, we'd have the Walking Dead. You know, we'd have a bunch of zombies. But when Jesus comes back, what is now perishable and weak and mortal will be changed. I mean, Paul says the mortal will put on immortality. The perishable will put on the imperishable. I am so waiting for that because it's what we are now is nothing like what we're going to be. And I don't know. There's no other way really to explain it except Paul's words. You know, he talks about the different things have different glories. There's the glory of men, the glory of angels, the glory of animals. Each one differs from itself. And he says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. Sown in dishonor when we die. And we know we're sown, we're planted, as it were, in dishonor, but raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. I'm about to start singing that old Southern gospel hymn here. But we will be so different. And, you know, hallelujah. You know, we do not believe in soul sleep. We don't think our little soul just slumbers in the grave until Jesus comes back. Because Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That pretty well sums it up. When
Absolutely.
We die, our soul and spirit go to be
yes.
with Jesus.
Yes.
And in
your
heaven,
soul is your emotions, your will.
Your mind,
your
will, and your emotions.
All of that. So you are aware immediately that you have transitioned
into a new place.
Yes.
And what happens then? I mean, yeah, our body corrupts in the grave, however long it happens to be there. And then when Jesus comes back, Paul says later on in this chapter, the last trumpet.
Yes.
Everything, just in a twinkling of an eye.
Right.
And I know, and I don't mean to step on anybody's not even pre-trib toes, but just anybody's dispensational toes. But, you know, they always talk about graves a-bursting. I don't think so. Only because we'll have our resurrection bodies. If I happen to be dead and Jesus comes back, I get my resurrection body. It's just going to pass through the ground.
Right.
You know, there's not going to be any exploding graves anywhere, I don't think. But I can't wait for that. Keith Green wrote a song, I Can't Wait to Get to Heaven.
Right.
You know, it said 6 days it took you to create the earth, but you've been working on heaven 2,000 years. I love that.
Yeah.
And then when Jesus comes back, we get our resurrection bodies.
Right.
That's when we get our crowns.
Right.
And death, Paul writes later on here, death is swallowed up in victory.
Yes.
Death is the last enemy.
Right.
You know, we've got so many enemies. Death is the last one. And, you know, I've seen it. Well, why didn't God just do it now? Because right now we can't be in his presence.
No.
You know, we're not equipped. Our human flesh right now, our unglorified human flesh is not equipped to be there.
Look what happened to Moses when he went up on the mountain and communed with God, and they couldn't even look at his face.
Right, he came back down glowing.
Glowing.
You know, and even when Moses told God, let me see your face.
Right.
Let me see your face.
And he said, you can't take it.
Right. He said, no, it'll kill you.
Right.
And even under the new covenant, I mean, John was fortunate enough to see Jesus.
Right.
But even in his vision, he had to get a revelation of who it was because what he saw, and we may get there.
We're going to get there. Yeah.
It's just glowing.
Glowing.
Incredibly glowing person.
Right.
And you know, that's how Jesus looks. He's been glorified.
That's exactly right.
And that's what John saw.
Right.
And that's why, you know, John had a vision, but for us to live with God in eternity.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to be there temporally, our soul and our spirit, but to be there eternally, we're going to have our new bodies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I've been thinking, I fly a lot, and I was thinking the other day, when you get in a little aluminum or whatever it is, metal can, sit down in a seat, and all of a sudden you're up above the clouds, and you get off of that airplane in a different location than where you began, and there's a time period in between during that transition. And I fly to Texas a lot because that's where my kids are, Indiana. And when I get off that plane in Austin, Texas, it's a totally different environment than when I got on in St. Pete, Florida, right? Totally different. There's a transition of getting used to, even the highways there in Texas are totally different. And that transition, and spiritually, we're not going to have those encumbrances, those problems. We are going to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. And so when we transition from, and this so goes along with our dear friends that were on Truth Talk right before us, that human body and that human wisdom can't grasp this spiritual concepts of what's going to happen to us as we are changed from like that little kernel of corn into this huge, beautiful plant.
Well, and because I was thinking about this earlier in the week. Remember back when you were at Ball State, did you have to take philosophy?
I did.
Yeah, me too. But all those philosophies, especially at the time Paul was writing the Bible, what set Christianity and, well, Judaism, from which Christianity sprang, apart was the belief in a bodily resurrection. Now, they had all this stuff about spiritual resurrection. In fact, the Platonists or Neoplatonists, whoever, thought that what we would be the perfect form is a sphere. So we were all going to be spheres, you know.
Yeah, that's
big old globes. But nobody really believed in a physical resurrection. Oh, yeah, our spirits, whatever, might get resurrected. But what sets us apart, one of the things that sets us apart is a belief in a bodily, physical resurrection.
Change.
Because Jesus rose, we are going to rise and have a new body.
Amen. The resurrected body. So awake, my soul. Awake, my soul. Woo, Chris Tomlin. Love it. That God waken you up today. Awaken you today. Wake me.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me.
Is saying to the church today, wake up, people, wake up and hear the word of the Lord.
I realize you breathe out, I come alive. Your word gives life to my dry bones. Your breath tells death they can ride on. Awake me, make me a living stone, a testament to your throne. I am nothing without you, I'm on my own, the only one who satisfies my soul.
Amen. He is the only one that can satisfy our souls. And that song says it so well. And dear ones, what God is saying right now to all of us who want to hear the word of the Lord is that it's time to wake up. It's time to get to let go of our sleep clothes, you know, our lackadaisical laziness, our complacency, our just hanging, you know, doing the same thing day in and day out and not taking time to worship God, not taking time to get in the Word, not taking time to meditate on His promises, those times that we just are lazy. And God is saying it's time to wake up because Jesus is coming soon. Nan, do you have a poem that God gave you?
No, ma'am.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, all right, go ahead, PJ.
Yeah, I've got something real quick.
Go ahead.
Paul, just up above where we're at in 1 Corinthians 15, I love these verses. You know, he talks about, why do I put myself in danger if I'm not going to be resurrected? If the resurrection, if this is some sort of false hope.
Right.
He says in verse 32, what do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with the beasts at Ephesus?
Right.
If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and be merry.
Right.
Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. I think that's a lot of people's attitudes today is hopelessness. And, you know, there's nothing really to point out. So why not? Let's eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. And then Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals.
Yes.
And I love the next verse. Nan, you may have it in the King James, and I may ask you to read it in the King James. It says, wake up from your drunken stupor, Woo! As is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. You know, and I love that about Paul, especially in Corinthians. He let them have it on a number of issues.
Yes. But
can you read, Nan, can you read verse 34 in the King James Version?
Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Okay, awake to righteousness. Right. That's what it goes right along with what you were saying, Pastor.
Yes.
We need to awake to righteousness. Right. We need to awake to our right standing with God.
Yes, amen.
And how that needs to affect our everyday walk with God, our everyday, you know, everything that we do in the world. We need to awake to righteousness and stop it. You know,
exactly.
Just stop it. The time is too short.
Amen. Let's go do the crown of righteousness there in 2 Timothy, is it, or 1 Timothy?
Yeah, you want me to see if I can read this without crying?
Yeah, let's see if you can. But we're going to do that as soon as we start the second hour because we got to do some little stuff here and do station ID in a moment. Nan, please tell us, if you will, about our Thursday night show, Go Yard, at Mean City No Home Run in Life, when it is and where. Can they find it? What's it all about?
They can find it here on Tan Talk. It's at 6:06 p.m. on Thursdays. It's called Go Yard. As you said, it's with you and with your other name, Mama Mac, and Dr. Angel Falzoni.
Right.
It's a live coaching show. And it's a great show. You have touched on many, many topics throughout the years that you've been doing this. But people can call in if they have questions about this relating to the topic that's being discussed. They can call and ask questions, make comments. I always say it's free counseling.
Right.
It's free counseling. If it's on a topic that is of relevance or pertinent to you and where you are with your life right then, it's free counseling, and it's our free counseling. And you can call and ask a question, get your question answered. I mean, it's just great. I mean, I've done that. I've called in numerous times.
You have, many times. You can go to our website, GoYard 2014, because that's the year we began. GoYard2014.org. It's an ORG. And you can go to radio broadcasts there, and they have titles on them, series. We usually do series of 2, 3, 4 shows at a time on these different topics. Don't know what it's going to be this week yet, because Dr. Angel and I haven't met yet to figure it out. But it'll be something great. So go to GoYard2014.org and look up the radio broadcasts and see the topics and listen. It's a great podcast way to listen to the word. You can do it when you're running. You can do it when you're cooking, when you're driving in your car. Podcasts are the thing to do. You can listen to these shows right here. Not just Go Yard, but these Sunday shows on podcast here. Right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts. Hit that button after you go to TanTalkNetwork.com. Go to Living the Good Life. That's the name of this show. Or Go Yard, our Thursday night show, under the podcast. And you'll find tons of them there to listen to. Podcasts are a great way to learn and you know, be, you know, just get stronger in the word and in your emotional life and your mental issues, etc. Woo! So, Pastor Jim, tell us about the prayer line real quick.
Okay, we have a prayer line. We encourage people to send in their prayer requests. We kind of touched on this earlier, and I'll get about, you know, using like signposts, like Nan writes stuff down. So we encourage you to send us your prayer request, and either myself, Shell, Betty will send out the prayer. We'll take your request, turn it into a prayer, send it out to our prayer team, and we will pray for your needs, no matter how big, no matter how small. We do ask only one thing, or I ask one thing. When God answers your prayer, when you get your answer, send us, let us know, because I do keep track of all that, and it goes along with what Nan said. We can say, you know what, just like Samuel set up the stone called Ebenezer, you know, our help, you know, God is our help. We do that too with these prayer requests. I can look back over all the praise reports we've gotten and say, you know what? We've had people delivered of cancer. We've had people saved. We've had people delivered of demonic oppression. We've had people pulled out of financial situations. God's just done marvelous things.
It's amazing, isn't it? And we always have time in our service on Sunday morning, right at the very beginning, for praise reports and prayer requests. And that's a vital part of our service. We do it right away so people have a chance to share what's on their heart and mm-hmm. what's bothering them. And the answers to prayer are just crazy. I handed you a list from last week when you were out of town that Becky wrote down, and because you usually write them down. And the list just goes on and on and on of the praise reports and the prayer requests last week that were given. Crazy good. Every week or every 2 weeks, I do a Facebook post. And you can go to Beacon of Hope Ministries posts and find them, or my personal post, Marcia McAllister post. PJ, why do we do that? They're short, 15, 18 minutes.
Well, okay, they're short. They're word. I want to start to say wordy. That's not right. They're word filled, and it's like gospel nuggets is how I look at it. And it's good, it's meaty, it's short, so it's not going to take up your whole day to listen to. And they're on Facebook, and you can find them all either on, like, going back to what? It's been over a year and a half now, over a year and a half, I think, or almost a year and a half since we've been doing these. And it's great. I mean, it's just, and they're usually, they follow up either on the sermon or